cannot hear this song right now without Diddy bopping. Thank you, Andrea Dollis. Andrea Dollis in the newsroom. I'm going to be hanging out with her tomorrow night, by the way. She's in for Patty, and I'll be in for Andrea,
That's
playing
right.
the role of Andrea Dollis.
I said, so we got to start planning our show.
Yeah, I know.
No, we got a couple of, actually, we have a couple of representatives from the HRC gala, because the big HRC dance and gala is going to be on Saturday. So we'll have some folks from the Human Rights Committee coming in.
Oh, that's exciting.
And that's it. So the rest is you, my friend.
Okay, well, I got a surprise for you. Okay. By the way, I didn't even introduce myself, Doma T. Pongo. This is WGN Nightside. I'm on from 11 to 1 a.m. In just a moment, my co-host, comedian Jess Niche, will be joining me. We have a really good show planned for you guys tonight. But before we get to that, I've got something of interest to the newsroom, Andrea. This is just in.
Good.
Yes, I didn't even think that I'd be able to make it happen, but I did. So, you know, there are 35,000 people running for mayor of Chicago.
Yes.
And unfortunately, some of the some really great voices get drowned out when the field is that crowded. And there's a public policy consultant. I've leaned on her expertise for years. I knew her when I was a news anchor and news director at WVON. And she was a very prolific voice on all things politics and policy. Ran for mayor last time around. This time around, got great name recognition because she elicited the endorsement of Chicago's own Chance the Rapper.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Amara Enya, and she's called into the WGN newsroom.
Oh, fantastic.
Let me see if I can get her on. Let me see if I know how to press
That'd
these buttons.
Great.
Amara, are you there?
I am here.
It's good to hear from you. How you doing?
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
So I'm going to be really transparent with the listeners. So Amara has to get up really early tomorrow. And I said, hey, would you be able to come on? You're in a lift right now. But you said, you know what? I really want to talk to them about what I have going on and about this campaign that has been re-energized this time around with this endorsement, which congratulations, by the way.
Thank you.
And,
thank you. We're really excited.
So I appreciate you coming on, especially on such short notice. But you guys have an event tomorrow. You and Chance, Chance the Rapper, are doing what tomorrow?
Yeah, so we are pulling up on 63rd and Cottage Grove. So our campaign has always been about amplifying the voices of people that have been really pushing for change on our fronts in the city. Obviously, we have a strong policy platform, many of the things that I've been talking about for years. But we also wanted to show that the people of the city are ready for something different. They're ready, that they want their voices finally to be heard. And so our campaign is a people power campaign. So we're doing a pull-up, which is basically just gathering people at a particular place, and we will talk about a specific issue and allow people there just to feel that they are part of this movement. And so tomorrow at 2 o'clock, we'll be at 63rd and Cottage Grove. The topic that we'll be talking about, and we're going to be on megaphones and speakers, is gentrification and displacement. And we picked Woodlawn because, for those who are not aware, Woodlawn is the site where the Obama Presidential Center is being built, and there's been a lot of conversation about a community benefits agreement and how we prevent people from being displaced from their homes. And so this is an issue that I care deeply about. So many organizers have been working on this issue over the last few years. And so we wanted to just draw some attention to it, get people engaged, shine the light on people in the city, the people who are living these experiences. That's what our campaign is all about. And so we'll be doing that tomorrow. And that's just the first one. So we have many that are going to be scheduled over the coming weeks. But we wanted to definitely start on an issue that's of significance to so many in the city.
Hey, we've got Andrea Dollis in the newsroom. She's got a question for you.
Amara, good evening. Oh. Thank you for being with us. You know, and congratulations, as Doma T said, on the endorsement from Chance. I know Kanye West donated a significant amount to your campaign today, too. And hearing the buzz around the city is that you're really resonating with a lot of the younger voters as well. And so I'm wondering, it has to make you feel good, because I know more millennials are registering to vote. And, of course, their vote counts, too. So you're really resonating with a whole group of different voters. How does that make you feel?
Well, it feels really good. I mean, the thing about it is that our message is actually resonating across the board. So it's actually resonating with even our seniors, who are excited finally to see people excited about what could possibly happen in the city. And so so many younger voters have been, they've either become apathetic or they've been left out of the process, or we don't bother to engage them in the process. And many of those young folks are the ones who've been on the front lines of some of the most significant movements in the city in years. The most recent being the conviction of Jason Van Dyke for the killing of Laquan McDonald. It was young people that pushed for that. It was young people that have been pushed against the closing of the Inglewood, four high schools in Inglewood, and then the students weren't even going to be allowed into the new building. It was young people that were organizing around that. So what's been happening is they have been risking comfort to push for the kind of city that they deserve, and they're not waiting around for other people to do it for them. And so to have a campaign that actually that they can see themselves in has really been, you're really seeing that enthusiasm. But it's also sending a message to older voters who also are tired of the way things are. They're tired of the status quo, and there's something about seeing that groundswell of energy and momentum that is exciting them as well.
Yeah, and I was going to ask that question, too. How do you, so, you know, you're galvanizing millennial voters, people in our age group. How do you galvanize voters from other demographics, not only the older generation, but also white Chicago and Latinos, and speaking to their issues? What are some of those topic points and some of those key points that you want to get out about that piece of your campaign?
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that, you know, that people, regardless of their race, ethnicity, background, they all pretty much want the same things in the city. They want safe communities, they want good schools, they want jobs, they want a city that is fiscally solvent so that their taxes aren't super high. We generally want the same things, but the problem has been that the power structure in the city government and those in leadership have always treated groups differently based upon their value to the power structure. So primarily black and brown communities get ignored or disinvested for decades. And the people in those communities don't get the same access to opportunities as those in more affluent communities. That is a matter of equity in the city. And so the message is that we all have a shared interest in all parts of the city doing well economically, in every child having access to a quality school, that you cannot say that's that problem over there, that just affects those people over there. It affects all of us. And I think that's what's resonating. We haven't put ourselves in a box. And part of that is because I've always sort of, because of my upbringing, my background, been a bridge builder. So I've always sort of operated in different cultural spaces, different economic spaces. And what's required in the city is for us to connect on the things that bring us together. And I think that's why this movement already, it's multi-ethnic. It's intergenerational. It actually reflects the city of Chicago. And people feel that when they get involved.
Amara, I think your freshness gives a whole new side to this race because, as Domati referenced early on, this is a very crowded field, but you have a lot of familiar names in there, like Daly and Preckwinkle and Wilson. But I think that your freshness can really turn voters, I'm just curious to your take on it too, for those maybe not looking for a continued Daly administration or a continued Preckwinkle. You know what I mean? Because you have that newness to you. So that, I think, will work in your favor.
I definitely think so. I mean, those names, they've been in these leadership positions in the current circumstances as the result of their work. And that's not to tarnish the legacy of individuals who have served in public office for generations. But the question for us is, what does Chicago need moving forward? And what platform contains the energy and the commitment to the city's future? And you cannot get that if you are relying on individuals who are a part of the city's past. And so I think what people are wanting is they're just wanting to move into the future with new ideas, new leadership, and new energy that's not beholden to the status quo. And I think that's what is exciting a lot of people and getting them thinking, maybe we can actually get some different results this time.
Amara, thank you for taking time to jump on. Really quickly, the most important question. We're talking all these political questions. We got to explain what pull up even means. Like, so Chance the Rapper always tweets this out. He says, yo, he won't even really say anything. He'll tweet a flyer and say, pull up. You know, explain what pull up means to anybody over, I don't know, 50. I don't know.
Well, pull up. All right. So pull up just basically means show up. It's just like a call to action. Show up here. This is where we're going to be. No pretenses. It's not a holiness thing. We just want to be together, and we want to talk to each other. We want to hear from each other. So pull up is basically, this is the spot. Show up. Let's do this. So tomorrow, 2 o'clock, will be a 63rd in Cottage Grove.
Amara Enya, candidate for mayor. Thank you so much. So tomorrow, 63rd and Cottage Grove, and actually they're talking about gentrification. It is the area where the Obama Presidential Library will soon be, Obama Presidential Center, I should say. And I actually did a piece on the Obama Presidential Center called Develop or Detract, and Amara Enya was one of the public policy consultants that gave voice to that piece. She's been organizing with a lot of community members who fear gentrification when that comes to the community. So that conversation continues. If you want to brush up on that conversation, head to WGNradio.com and put in Develop or Detract, or just put in my name, Dometi, D-O-M-E-T-I, and you'll hear that full special. So, Amara, thank you so much for coming on. I will let you go and finish your Lyft ride. Apologize to your driver for me.
You're listening to No problem. We appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Thank you. You're listening to WGN Night Side. Yes, with the classic hip hop. That is DJ Cashera. That is producing WGN Nightside tonight. I go by the name of Dometi Pungo, and I am in the studio with Andrea Darlis, who is in the WGN newsroom. Apollo, our guest coming up at 11:30, is already here. He's back there vibing, and we've got my co-host coming up in a little bit, Tanisha Rice, aka Jess Niche. Andrea, what do you think of Amara Enya?
Oh my God. I do like her freshness, Dometi. I really do. I think, you know, just having covered dailies, having covered Tony Preckwinkle for many years, just in their, and it's not to, you know, discount any of their accomplishments or any of their political ambitions or what they want to do or what they have done. But again, to me, she just brings a very fresh, new face. And it's always good to have a new set of eyes, you know, entering a race like this that's already so diverse and so big.
It's such a huge race. But so this is the thing that, and I did a commentary about this, thinking about this. How do we look at the idea that once a celebrity endorses somebody, then we look at them as viable? Because she had the same platform when she ran last time around.
Right.
You know, right now, even the news just came out today. I should have mentioned it to her, actually. I think you did, with Kanye West.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kanye, right.
Last year, when Amara Enya was running, not last year, but last mayoral election, when she was running, she had her petitions challenged, and with that came some state fines, and she had to drop out of the race and began endorsing Alderman Bob Fioretti, who unsuccessfully ran as well.
Right.
Well, she got tagged with a $74,000 bill from the Illinois State Board of Elections, and this time around, she began running. She was another one of those names that was at the bottom of the pile, and it was just another name on the list. What does it say about the state of our politics when a celebrity endorsement propels you from obscurity to viability? And is that a good thing? Or is it just a thing? Is it neither? What is it?
Honestly, and this is just my opinion. I think it's great when I think everybody should be involved in the political process, whether it's, you know, a celebrity, a non-celebrity. I'm fine. I had an author on last week, Dometi. He wrote a book called Voting with a Porpoise, and it's kind of a children's book. We're geared toward younger kids to get them involved with voting. Mm. And he talked about that, like, you know, Kanye being so involved. Taylor Swift is very political. She's very involved. We all have a voice and we all have a vote. You know, and I think if it gets more people to vote, I think it's great, because you do have Republican supported celebrities.
Absolutely.
Celebrities supporting Republicans. You have Democrats or celebrities supporting Democrats, too. I think I do. It's just, if it gets you involved with the process, I think that's absolutely great. And Kanye and Chance both have Chicago ties. So it's not like somebody coming from a different state, you know, especially with Chance. You know, this is his community. He spends a lot of time here still. He's given a lot of money to Chicago Public Schools. So he puts his money where his voice is.
Absolutely. No, you make a good point. And I think that when the framers of the Constitution put this whole thing together, the idea wasn't that people would become career politicians.
Right.
It was your everyday person. It's the whole idea behind having senators and representatives and state reps. It was
right
to get as local as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And those people were supposed to also be farmers, and then they'd also be your senator, etc. But over the years, that has evolved for better and for worse in some cases. And so I've been kind of turning that thing over in my mind, because there is that piece of it where, just by virtue of him having millions of followers, her message gets out there.
Absolutely. And again, if it gets people involved, I think that is so great. And I love the fact that you called her. She was in a Lyft. She was probably coming home from an event and said, you know what? I will talk to you. I think that speaks volumes to somebody, and I know it's an election season, I get that, but perhaps if you called another candidate, would they be willing to say, okay, oh, 10 minutes, sure, on? I'll come on with you, sure.
I don't know. I don't know.
But I really appreciate the fact that she did that.
So a big thank you to Amara Enya for that. We're looking at a few other elections, and you'll be doing some election night coverage. Who are some of the big races that we should be looking at at the state level? Like, I know we're looking at Roskam, and I'm not going to lie. The national races have been much more interesting to me than a lot of what's been happening locally, so I haven't been paying close attention just yet to some of the local state elections that I really should be keyed in on.
I think what's also is going to be a great election or a great race is Attorney General Kwame Raoul and Erica Harold. Again, you have, I think, two younger candidates. Either would make history, first African-American man to be Attorney General, or the, actually, I'm sorry, Roland Burris was. But Erica Harold, you know, I mean, they just, I think they
that is a big race. That's
very
close.
They're both solid candidates. They're both very polarizing. You know, they each have their stance. They're very vastly different candidates, but both highly intelligent. And I think that's going to be a very close race. That's one we'll definitely be watching very closely on election night.
Yeah, that's a close one. You guys can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Yeah,
I'm
you're
live.
You're going to be here on election
night. Yeah, and I'll be here on election night. And I got a question from social media. They said, you know, what national races? And one of the national races I'm looking at is it Georgia, Stacey Abrams?
Oh, yeah, that's another one. Yes, that's a great race.
So as far as national races, that's what I'm looking at. An African-American woman running for governor in Georgia. And what's interesting, she's running against the former Secretary of State, who was instrumental in canceling a lot of people off of the voter rolls. They have this use it or lose it rule, where if you hadn't voted in previous elections for quite some time, or if there was a discrepancy, like, say you had an address and you should have had a hyphen in your name and you didn't have a hyphen in your name. They cut you. Or if you had the wrong apartment written down, or if you moved. So you had to really get re-registered to make sure that you were on the voter rolls, and that disproportionately affected poor people, disproportionately affected African Americans. Well, Stacey Abrams put together this whole campaign where she got people, black people signed up to vote over the past few years, and now she's running for governor. Who's she running against? I forget.
That's what I'm looking up right now.
Yeah, she's been putting this whole thing together, and this was a Supreme Court battle where that down there in Georgia, they had laws like the Voting Rights Act. This all was happening during Obama's presidency and under his watch. Under his watch, this thing went to the Supreme Court, and they ended up ruling that, you know, we can't stifle state governments from the way they want to handle their voter registration rolls. It's just an interesting race to watch when you have people on completely opposite ends of an issue.
Oh, absolutely.
Going head to head, not only on that voter issue, but now relying on those same voters to put them in office. And another example of a changing of the guard potentially happening down there in Georgia.
In Georgia,
definitely a red state. So anyway, we're keeping our eyes on that. We got more show coming up. We got to get to news with Andre Dollars, who I've been chatting with. Do we go to a break first? Do we go straight? Okay, we'll go to a break and then we'll come back to news. This is WGN Nightside, Doma T. Punga.
While laying in the garden, I came across a tree. I thought that it was harmless. Then the branches spoke to me. The peaches were nice and ripe. I was tempted to take a bite.
Oh, this is grade A cookout music right here.
I couldn't decide. What I desired was right.
DJ Cass, tell us who we're listening to right now.
Right now, we are listening to the illustrious Apollo Mighty.
Yes, yes. And, you're tuned in to WGN Nightside. Doma T. Pongo here. He is a vocalist, and he is in studio, and that record is called Forbidden Fruit.
Yes, sir.
Tell us more about the record.
Forbidden Fruit was actually the first song that I really recorded this year. I kind of set, like, the intention at the beginning of the year to, like, really start putting more music out, and, like, Forbidden Fruit was just one of those songs that, like, I woke up every day singing. Like, I had written it, like, a year before. But, like, I just kind of woke up all the time singing it, and I just got inspired to play it, to sing it. So I found one of my really good friends. We recorded it together. And
that's amazing, man.
The mic was not close enough to my mouth.
But no, that's amazing. No, so I got to give them the story of how I found out about Apollo Mighty. So DJ Cash Era, our producer here, after every show that I had a chance to host on WGN Nightside, she just puts me on the good music. You know, we really have like the same music taste pretty much. And she texted me a link to your music and just said, you know, did you get a chance to check it out? Yeah. I finally got a chance to listen, and it was amazing. And it's a polished sound that doesn't sound like an up and coming artist. I knew that I was listening to someone who had matured in the sound and knew what it was that you wanted to do musically. Absolutely. How long did it take for you to get that confidence musically?
It took me a while, actually, to be completely honest. Like, starting out, like, I always felt like I had a strong voice about who it was and what I wanted to say. But even still, just getting to that place where, like, you look around and, like, there's not too many people saying the kind of stuff that you're trying to say, or, like doing music, like, with the same even intensity. Like, I grew up with a bunch of people who, like, talked about it and would never really want to be about it with musically. And so, like, just to keep putting myself out there, like, over and over again, I mean, like, honestly, it just took a bunch of trial and error, a lot of, like, overcoming my own fear, my own self-doubt. And I still, like, struggle with some of it, but it's just a lot better now. Like, right now, I feel like I'm more willing to do it and at least get it wrong but say I did it than to not do it, which is kind of a complete new thing for me. Like, I used to be afraid.
If I mess up.
Excuse me.
Go ahead.
Mess up. If I mess up, like, I'm willing to, like, I want to live with that, you know what I'm saying? I want to live in that even still. But, I mean, so far, I just feel happy about where I'm at.
I love it, man. And this is what's so funny, man. So my co-host is just made it into the studio. It is not her fault, guys, that she wasn't able to be in right on time, because it was crazy traffic. It's been a crazy day. There was actually a shooting on I-57. So we're praying for the families of everyone who was involved in that. But Tanisha Rice, thank you so much for coming through. A super hilarious comedian. She's going to jump on the microphone in a second. Go ahead and get settled. But I wanted to bring you on because I bring you into this conversation because I love this idea of the bravery of going into artistry and being free to be like, you know, being free enough to say, you know, I'm not completely sure about this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And I believe in what it is that I'm doing. And it takes a lot to do that, especially whether it's being a radio personality, whether it's being a comedian, or whether it's being a singer. So I'm going to swing it over to Jess Niche, just welcome you in studio so you can jump in on this conversation.
Are these headphones right?
Yeah, put those on.
Okay, good enough. Props. Oh, hey, y'all. I'm so sorry I'm late. I wanted my whole 2 hours.
I feel cheated.
I feel cheated, too. When is the next one? Next Monday?
Yeah, come on through.
Bet.
Let's come back.
I'm gonna
on.
Be here earlier, 9:30.
So Jess Niche is a comedian. She spit your resume real quick. I don't know how your stats by heart. Spit your resume.
I'm a choir director by trade. No, but seriously, comedy. I've been doing comedy for 6 years, and full time for 3.5. So I quit my job about halfway, like 3 years in, I quit, and I was able to do comedy full time. So I've been on the road a lot. I've been able to tour with Dick Gregory, D-Ray Davis, opened up for Mike Epps, Cat Williams, done 2 Kevin Hart specials, and most recently, HBO Russell Simmons reboot of Def Jam.
Don't you like how she just name dropped so smooth, like it was nothing? You know, Def Jam, Russell Simmons, Kevin Hart. You know, there ain't nothing. Dick Gregory, the legend. And I first had a chance to meet her not too long ago, and we had a great conversation. And it's great to jump on studio with you again. Now, we're talking about confidence. The thing I'm kind of thinking about is, what did it take for you to get the confidence to take that leap of faith and jump fully into this? Because it wasn't easy.
No, to jump fully into it.
And quit that job, man.
And quit that job.
What were you thinking?
I wasn't thinking. I was, what I was thinking was, I hope my mama will let me move back in with her, because I'm not going to be able to pay this rent. And when I figured out I wanted to do it full time, I called her first. And I said, I want to do comedy full time. I don't want to work this job. And I thought she would be like, girl, you need to keep your job. You got a son and a 2-bedroom apartment. And no, instead of that, she said, can you keep up with your bills? And I was like, nah, that's why I'm calling you. And she was like, well, we can put your stuff in storage. You can come back home. And I've moved back home, and I've been full speed ahead ever since. So I really appreciate her supporting me, because she had never came to a show or nothing. She don't know if I was funny or not. She just knew that this is something I wanted to do.
Wow.
And she was with it. And I was like, oh, she rocking, I'm rolling. Because she was the only one who opinion mattered at that point.
So we got Comedia Jess Niche, also known as Tanisha Rice. Which do you prefer? What can I call you? Niche?
Just call Niche. You call me Niche. Yeah,
okay, Niche. Niche is cool. And we got Apollo Mighty up in studio.
Yes. Yeah. I want to go live. I'm so late.
Yeah, yeah. Go live. You guys can follow Tanisha on social media at Jess Niche, JustNesh. And Apollo, what's your social media?
It's Apollo _ Mighty on Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah, now walk us through your journey. When did you first take music seriously? How did you know that this was something that you really wanted to do? Because you talked about having friends who said they want to do something, they weren't serious about what it was they were trying to do.
Right.
How did you know this was it for you?
Well, I think like around the time I was 22, I moved back to Memphis and my mom got diagnosed with cancer. Mm-hmm. And like when she passed away, I remember just kind of like the idea of knowing this has to happen for you. If it's going to happen, you have to start making it happen. And I think honestly, just out of heartache and pain and all that kind of stuff, I needed to create something. I needed to get it off my chest. So I started doing it like that. And then just like I kind of fell in love with the grind of it. Just making the video, making the music, like just actually being a part of like the artistic process again, like felt cathartic and felt like I don't know, just like kind of felt like getting back to myself. So the more I did it, the easier it came to do. So, and then I moved up to Chicago when I was 25 a couple years ago, and I just kept doing it. I was in school for it. I got some friends who were doing shows and stuff. I started doing shows with them. And I then just kept recording.
Did music help you get through your mother's passing?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, the whole project that I made at that time was called Project 369. And it was pretty much just about letting something like outside of yourself transform you. It's about becoming something new. I mean, because I don't feel like the same person that I was before she passed away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What are some of the things that inspire you now? I mean, you talk about the pain of going through those things inspire you. What are some of the things that inspire you now?
Just looking at the fact that I'm still here. Even though you have stuff like that, just the fact that I've moved past it, I've had like a lot of closure. I've learned how to like set in goals and set intentions in my life, and then like be present in those things. Like I feel like I'm emotionally more healthy than I've ever been. So just those kind of things just make me just.
This is what's so funny. I was.
He's gonna make a whole video about me cursing.
I'm so sorry.
I was joking with comedian Jess Niche. I said, yo, when she comes in here, I told my news director, I said, man, I'm gonna keep my finger on the dump button for Niche. I don't know how my sister is gonna do it.
Not knowing.
I made an Instagram video. I said, listen,
to
y'all.
Tag my name, to call me out like I ain't a whole Christian.
And she said, I'm a choir director, and I believe. But Niche,
all I know is y'all got me working out with this dump button.
Yeah.
I'm tired already.
Yep.
That's what I get for talking mess about Niche.
About me.
Yeah. I was talking real reckless online.
He was talking so much trash. I'm going to throw him under the bus real quick. I'll make sure my name is real nice.
Thank you.
He was talking so much trash.
He didn't have no faith in me. You know, I do a lot of church shows. I do corporate events. You know.
So how does your how's the comedy switch up when you do church shows?
I'm just joking too.
You're not even like a racy comic or anything like that.
Well, you know, I think anybody can be. But yeah, I mean. I grew up in a church, so I know how to talk without cursing. You know, I don't cuss around my family, I don't cuss around my mama. You know, so it's not a big deal. On stage, yeah, that's different, but you can cut that off. I know how to.
But even the nature of the jokes is different, though. Not even just the language, but.
Sometimes, but yeah, but if you write your material clean, you can always dirty it up. So they say write clean first, and that way you can do a clean set. So and then you can add the cuss words in there later. I mean, for your other shows, if you want to get raunchy, if it's like a rowdy crowd, then you can add that stuff. But if you're writing about relationships or work or children, just write it clean.
What I love about you too is not only, you know, you've done TV, you've done clean shows, you've done corporate shows, you've done church shows, but you also are right there on 75th in Indiana, I think it is, Francis.
Yes, every Monday. Well, not tonight, clearly. The show always goes on. We always get a host if I'm not able to make. But every Monday is Comedy at Francis on 75th. So if you look for something to do, you go watch the game, get a laugh.
And Francis, it's a dope bar.
It's a Chicago staple, yeah. Owned by Marlon Mitchell, one of Chicago's finest comedians. And it's also the face of, I don't know if anybody watched Real on Fox, but that is the snapshot. That's the bar that they hang out at.
It's really?
Francis. So, yeah, shout out to Real on Fox. Francis is the bar. So, that's they Nipsey's or that's they whatever bar. You know, people hang out on the sitcom. So, it's Francis.
Yeah, comedian Lil Real.
Shout out to Real.
The new show on Fox from Chicago. Shout out Chicago. We're going to go into a little bit more detail about the set that you do every Monday at Francis Apollo. We're going to come back with some more music for you. You're listening to WGN Nightside. Doma T. Pongo. My co-host is Jess Neal. And our guest is Apollo. We'll be back in a moment.
Now, baby, I don't need much. All I need is your love. Tender touch. Every bit of your love. I could lose it all. All I need is your love.
This is nice. WG a nice side.
This was Whispers in the Dark, too.
That was nice. Apollo. Like in slow motion, like
if
you slowly realize
it.
That was nice, too.
WG Nightside, Nice Side, Doma T. Pongo. My co-host is Niche, and we've got we got singer Apollo Mighty up in here.
Sounding good.
Thank you.
Wasn't he, though?
It was.
Thank you so much.
What song was that? What's that called?
That's called Solid Gold. It's on everything. Apple Music, Spotify. We're doing really good right now on Spotify. So I'm really excited.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
That was sexy.
Thank you so much.
How old are you?
I'm 28.
Oh, that's nice. How long you been singing?
I've been singing since I was 7.
And I'm sorry if I asked repeat questions because I was late.
No, you're good.
I'm sorry for the fans if y'all heard.
Go ahead.
You said since you were 11?
Since I was 7, I've been singing.
Since you were 7.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
I was little.
Did you sing in a choir?
I sang in a few choirs. I sang in like chamber choir in like in high school, mm-hmm. like the ones that I compete around and stuff like that.
Oh, so you was in a real choir, like Sister Act.
Yeah. Oh, he was really doing
joyful,
it.
Yeah. Joyful. Okay.
Now, are these songs, are these records on a project, or are these just loose tracks on a?
Like I'm working on a little something definitely to put out. I think we're gonna do it in February. We have a video that we're shooting right now, so we're gonna put a couple things together.
Do albums matter as much with the streaming culture right now? Because when you look at a lot of artists have been doing this where they just drop loose tracks and they become a part of Spotify playlists or,
yes.
you know what I'm saying, key playlists on Apple Music. Does it even matter if you put everything on a project or can you just drop loose tracks?
I think it matters going into like whatever kind of artistry you want to be about. Like mm-hmm. if you're the kind of artist who's trying to tell a full story with all of your music, then yeah, it does matter.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, I want to hear a whole Michael Jackson album. I want to hear a whole Chance album. You know what I'm saying? I want to hear the whole thing because it gives you the whole spectrum. I love to hear a whole Big Sean album from beginning to end. Like, that's just like,
right.
Get the whole thing. But then, of course, if you're an artist that you know, like, your fan base,
I got
is
one
just,
hit wonder for y'all.
Yeah.
I want to put my one song on SoundCloud, please. On iTunes.
Just do
and
it.
Go crazy.
And that's it. I mean, but it just depends on what you want.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if we can consume music the way we used to back in the day. Because
I mean,
you got more people are dropping EPs. Albums are coming out every now and then with 7 tracks. I mean, you did have Drake drop Scorpion with, 26 records on that joint?
Yes, he did. And also Chris Brown been putting out the 40-plus, back-to-back, he put out a 40-plus album.
But
and it's all been hot, though. It's been, like, good music.
And I actually like long albums. I actually prefer an album and a real project.
I don't think I need 40 tracks of anybody at one
time. No, I can't do 40 tracks.
Yeah, that's
time.
A lot. It took me a lot to get through Heartbreak on a Full Moon, but it was good music.
You got through it from beginning to end?
Yeah.
In one sitting?
No. Like in a week's time.
Oh.
But I always think it's weird, though, when you read music reviews and they say this was a great album, but it was too long. Like, I think it's weird to penalize an artist for giving you more not 40 songs, but I'm talking about like Heart of Five, what was it, 20 records?
Mm-hmm.
I think you only say that if all of the records aren't hot, but
yeah,
you know, otherwise.
I have no complaints for Heartbreak on the Full Moon. And speaking of long stuff, R. Kelly just put out, what was it, 25 minutes? How long?
19 minute
song. 19 minutes?
I admit.
He don't even need no album. Just put that one.
Put that one song out.
That's it. That's the album.
Look, in just a moment, when we come back, I want to jump into some topics with you guys, right? So a few things. We'll start with this one. this idea of what we call cancel culture, because you brought up R. Kelly, and because of the sexual abuse allegations against him, a lot of people are canceling R. Kelly. They say they don't want to listen to him. Where there's this story about this guy who sent some racist tweets out 10 years ago, and people are canceling him.
Ooh.
And I think that has gone too far. We're going to dive into that in just a moment. WGN Nightside, Doma T. Pongo, Jess Niche. WGN Nightside, Doma T. Pongo. My guest co-host is Jess Niche. What up, Niche?
All right, let me get on this. I can pay attention to my in-studio...
Your in-studio duties?
Yes.
I just feel to be a radio personality. This is natural. Good. You do this all the time, though.
Well, you know what? A little bit. But I don't co-host. I'm just usually filling in, or I'm just like, you know... Pumping in punchlines here and there, you know. I ain't never had to ask the questions and stuff, but that's what's up.
Oh, you're getting down. You're getting down.
Yeah, I usually answer the questions, but nobody want to know nothing about me, so that's fine. Back to Apollo.
Apollo Mighty is in studio, and he want to know about you.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Well, yeah. Well, we'll get to all of that. We got some good topics, though, that I think we're supposed to hit on.
Yeah. No, so I've been thinking about this story, and actually, I need DJ Cashera's help on this one just to kind of tee this up for me. So there's this YouTube star, I don't know if you guys are familiar with him. I wasn't until this story broke, but he goes by the name of Brother Nature.
Yeah, the dude that's always rocking with the deer, Canella.
The deer?
Yeah, the deer, Canella.
I don't know about this. Tell us about, what's the social media craze?
All right, gotcha.
I've got a selfie stick. I'm old, man. Yeah, I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, we see that, Grandpa. We see it. We got you. So there's this Twitter. He's actually a Twitter star. He got famous on Twitter and Vine. He's this dude. He goes by @ Brother Nature. And he just always is like hanging out with deer. And that's how it started. He had this deer that always came to his front yard named Canella. And he would just feed her randomly out of nowhere.
He named the
deer. But from that, it just kind of like blew up to where he's now hanging out with other animals and stuff.
How do we know this deer name is Canella?
Yeah, the deer's name is Canella. He got a tattoo of Canella on his thigh right now.
He's got a tattoo.
He just got it done today.
Wow. Oh, and it's cute.
He's that's got a right. tattoo of a deer on his thigh. Says, "Love you, girl. Thanks for changing my life."
Oh, no, seriously, this man got to travel the world and everything off of Canella.
Well, that's dope.
So this is what happened. So his real life name is, what is it, Kelvin Pena?
I think it's Kelvin, yeah. Kelvin everybody calls Pena. Him Brother Nature now.
Everyone calls him Brother Nature. He's only 20 years old, and he has 4 million followers on Instagram and Twitter. And he regularly checks in and talks to all these pets. So he has Canella, the deer that we're talking about, squirrels, monkeys, goats, chimpanzees. He talks to all of these animals and has become beloved by the internet. So people have found tweets going back to 2011 and 2012. He's 20 years old now. That means back then he would have been about 12 years old, right? And so he's been posting things online like Hail Hitler.
Oh, this is 12-year-old him?
12-year-old him posting swastikas.
Oh, that's his daddy phone.
He said,
"Kids don't do that."
Yeah, well, he says, "I hate coons." Oh. White power.
That is learned.
Now he's Puerto Rican.
I was just looking at his pictures.
Either way,
like,
that's something that is taught.
I mean, yeah, you believe that's taught. That's before.
That's taught. That's passed down. That's what he's been around. And he's 12. Like, my son is 10, and ain't no way that he would say any of that.
I mean, some of these are really offensive. Some of them not so much. Want to hear a joke? Women's rights. That's one of the things. That's one of the things he tweeted.
I think he was actually just taking those tweets off other people's stuff. You know how people just would like copy a status and tweet it.
Just trying to be heard.
Just trying to be seen. Yeah. Yeah. And now it's biting them in the butt.
Yeah, he's calling himself a Nazi. All of this stuff. And so these tweets came out, and people are like, "Cancel."
Did he ever apologize?
Pena. Has he apologized? I don't know yet. Let me see.
No, yes, he did a very formal apology
still feel
this
that
morning.
Way? Like, is he still? Was that? He left that in 8 years ago, or is him and the deer out with Confederate flags and all that stuff? So, did it stay back 8 years ago, or is this like still what he does?
Is it still how he gets down? Yeah. I don't think all he's been posting about.
Oh, he's animal now.
He's animal now. That's all he's been posting.
Well, I don't know. People can change. I don't know, but I think it's rooted, though. So I think he low-key still feel like that.
So here's what he posted. Here's his apology. "I wake up this morning to seeing my old tweets resurface on my timeline, and my heart dropped.
I bet.
I started using Twitter when I was 12 years old. I was very impressionable and was seeking attention. I'm sorry to all of the people that I offended and have let down. I apologize for 12-year-old Kelvin and take total responsibility for my words. Everyone changes. Everyone learns. Blah, blah, blah. We all make mistakes. That's why I spread so much love now." So on and so forth.
I like that.
You accept the apology? That's it? That's all it took?
I do. I do, because, I mean, you know, he was 12.
You were 12.
And if he's not acting like that, you know, he's 20 now, and if he's just low-key, you know, just like animals and doing good for the world, I'm okay with that.
You know what it would have been kind of better for me, though, is if, like, he had said something like that. If he had said something like that, like, prior to these coming out, like, had he just been like, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
I used to say some really racist stuff. I have this huge platform now. Let me, like, let y'all know that's not how I am no more. To me, like,
I quit.
Yeah, but he's like, he knew it would come out. Do you even know? I don't remember what I was doing when I was 12 years old.
No.
I had MySpace.
No. I knew I wasn't racist, though.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I mean.
That's a great point.
I knew that.
That's a great point.
I definitely knew that. And
right.
If I had been, I would probably remember that. If I was,
exactly.
like, really going
exactly.
in on white people,
right.
I'd probably
exactly.
be like, well, no, sixth grade was a rough year for me, y'all. Sorry, white folks, white people. You know, like, I would just have to be like. No, I was something else in sixth grade. But, so he had to have known, because that's some pretty vicious stuff he was talking about. And
I mean, I think it does definitely have, like, the ring of somebody who's, like you don't even probably know what being a Nazi really meant at
right.
12 years
that's
old. Like,
right.
it has that, like, immature kind of ring to it.
He's just doing stuff.
But, like, I mean, to your point, like, as far as, like, canceling everybody... You know,
and so when they cancel him because he's just an animal man, so what they gonna do? Steal his animals? I mean, like, how do we cancel him?
How do we?
Well, man, it's not R. Kelly. We're not muting his music.
I mean,
how we cancel him? We unfollow
him.
People are unfollowing him.
Oh,
people
yeah.
are, you know.
Okay, so unfollow.
Yeah, I mean, folks are texting in about it. 608 says, "Love you, love your show. Thank you so much. Try Jesus. He's not racist." She says he's not racist. I mean, he was 12 years old. He was impressionable. He was trying to get attention. 224 says, "Seriously, WTF?" Explain that a little more. What
they texting on?
They're texting. Oh, you guys can text us at 312-982-7200. 981-7200.
Oh, so y'all can text us to come over there.
Yeah.
See, y'all can text and call in, y'all. We're talking about.
Yes, you guys can text and call in. 312-981-7200. And other people are saying this is really stupid. How could he, what would make him think that people wouldn't see these tweets coming
out?
Yeah,
they're bringing up everything. This one dude told me to delete some stuff because he didn't want it to come back on me in 10 years.
What was it? What were some things that you put out there that you didn't want to come back? Now you got to spill it.
No, and I'm not like apologizing for it because it was funny to me. It's a joke, and I know everything not funny, you know, but when Bill Cosby got locked up, my whole timeline was just everybody was talking about rape, Bill Cosby, everybody was talking about rape. Like the whole day, that's all I saw on my timeline. So I put on Facebook, y'all finna be so mad. I put, all this rape talk is making me horny, right? So.
I think I saw that.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a joke. Like everybody was laughing, but this one lady got real offended and reported it. She reported, I was in jail for like 24 hours for Facebook for that. And then this one guy inboxed me like, you should remove that. I don't want it to come back. I got a whole rape bit. Like, if anybody's seen my stand-up in the last year or so, I do a whole bit about rape. And no, I'm not making light of rape, but it's a joke. Everything ain't going to be funny to everybody.
How do you approach those topics, though, when you might have somebody...
You just
in
gotta
the audience
do it.
To experience that. Like, yeah,
and that's what I say. I don't ever want to, like, trigger people, you know.
Right.
And I know it's, like, a serious subject, and I don't ever want to trigger people. But it's funny joke to me, and I say it. And I do a disclaimer, though, before I do it, because I know, like, I'm finna talk about something that's kind of deep. And I let them know, like, we're going to get dark, and then I make a joke about that. So I approach it where they're not as offended. Or, you know, that nobody's ever came to me after the show like, oh, my God, that joke. So
right.
I ease them in there, and then yeah. I, you know.
But you think it, but. That's interesting, though, that you consciously think about what you might have out there that's negative and you get ahead of it.
Yeah. And then, like I said, with that little Facebook thing, I really didn't think nothing of it because, like I said, it was a joke.
So let's go to the comedy world thing. You talked about Bill Cosby, but you have comedian Louis C.K.
Mm-hmm.
Who admitted to, you know, using his position of power to make women uncomfortable. He would, you know, masturbate in front of them without permission. They just walk in and
that was deep.
He'd be doing. I haven't read in detail a lot of these allegations, but he's admitted to all of them. So I shouldn't even say allegations anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, really, really, really vile stuff. And what's interesting about it is, you know, his show was canceled, everything he was working on.
Yeah, they really got him. But like I said, men in power do think they can just do whatever they want to do. And they do feel like, you know, they're not going to say nothing because I'm who I am. And they think they can get away with it. I know it's a scary time for men right now.
If you're a creep.
But even if you're not, because sometimes y'all just dumb, you know, and y'all don't think.
We can say that.
My chest. Just grab both of them. Like, if he had some money, I would bring that up. Like, right now, like, eighth grade, I was assaulted.
Wow.
But if he had some money.
If he has some money, he's probably on crack. So, he was going nowhere fast. I don't even think he graduated. So, I know I won't be able to bring that up. But you just got to live with that. But, like, that's just stuff that boys do. And if we're going to bring up stuff from 20 years ago, that's the way everybody doing.
But it's the way it affected you, right? You've gotten past it, gotten through it. But what if someone else was really triggered by that and it affected them?
I think
and
I'm
traumatized them
just
a little differently.
You know, because he was just a really little. He was so dirty. I'm so triggered. He was dirty. Like I say, he just.
Yeah. So I mean, see, so that's something. Yeah. Go ahead, Apollo. Go ahead.
No, that's the thing. It's like just even that what you just said it triggers you. Like, and then like we can easily chalk it up to like, oh, well, boys are gonna be boys. Yeah. That's just what. But that's the fact that that culture is perpetuated with just that one statement.
Is.
Boys gonna be boys.
It is.
Like there was so much stuff that like my mama would just not let me get away with. I never grew up with that. Like, oh, that's just what like being managed like in front of women and stuff like that and being inappropriate. My mom just never like was never going for that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But like there are so many of like my other friends who say and think certain things, like even just like their mentalities. And it's hard to have conversations with them because on one hand I'm like, bro, I have to check you on this because I know how blatantly wrong it is.
Mm-hmm.
But then they've grown up with the mentality of, well, that's just what men do.
Yeah.
Like, and we have to change that. That shouldn't be what men do. And
we have to, because it's not what every man do.
And I'm sorry that it took for me to think about this for, you know, for my mother or my sister, whatever, things that you want to excuse if you make this mistake. You wouldn't want someone to do that to the women in your life that you love.
Exactly.
So we have to change the boys will be boys, this whole thing. But I want to get back. I want to get to this question. You guys can call in 312-981-7200. Has cancel culture gone too far? And a few other topics. Man, my guest co-host is Niche. We've got a guest in studio, Apollo Mighty.
Yes, play some more of his music.
Yeah, WGN Nightside. We'll be back in a minute.
I might pray like it's up to God, but I work like it's up to me. They wonder how I made it this far, but it's not a mystery. I'll do what I gotta do to get to where I'm trying to be. Ain't waiting for nobody. I picked up the pen and started writing my own destiny.
WGN Nightside, Doma T Pongo, co-hosting alongside Niche, and our guest in studio is Apollo Mighty, a vocalist. And you got a new fan in studio right now, man.
And I'm happy about it too.
I'm fanning out over here. Every time y'all play it, I'll be like, oh, that's him.
I just keep watching the slow-mo the whole thing. It's just brilliant.
What is it like seeing people enjoy your music though too? Cause, I mean, because you're seeing the genuine reaction. When she first came in, she didn't even know what she was listening to, so you know she genuinely loves the music. How does that feel seeing that?
I can't even explain it. Like it's so great just because I make it because I love it, and then to see other people love it too. I don't know. It's nothing like it, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, looking like Michael B. Jordan. Okay.
Yo, Apollo Mighty, his music is on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud. Where can they find it? What's your social media? Give them all the information if you like what they heard.
So, yes, Apollo_Mighty is my handle on Twitter and on Instagram. I'm pretty active on Instagram. Solid_gold369 is my handle on Snapchat, if anybody does that. And
oh, like, people on Snapchat still?
Yeah,
okay.
I mean, you know. You
be Snapchat.
I be Snapchat my songs, though, and people, they Snapchat me back.
I'm
going to
follow on Snapchat. I'm
going to be the only one
I look at their Snapchat. Cause
I don't like when Snapchat updated. Yeah, I couldn't keep up with it.
Oh, it got retarded. So, I stopped being on it after that update, too. But I'm going to go back on that for Apollo.
So, we canceling Snapchat, but we're doing that for Apollo.
Thank you so much, man.
Yeah, man. We've been talking about cancel culture and this whole idea that, you know, when we dig up old information, information, be it old tweets, all of this stuff, does it mean that we should do away with an artist completely? And what does that even look like, right? So I look at, you know, we look at Bill Cosby, and I do believe we should, you know, rethink how we consume his content given what he's done to these people and these women.
What you mean? What content? The Cosby Show?
Right. I think we should.
We already consumed it, and we love it, and there's nothing we could do about it.
I think we should.
You can't unlike it.
You can't unlike it. And I think we should relook at how we look at Bill Cosby the man versus Cliff Huxtable.
Mm-hmm.
I like the show, and I love Cliff Huxtable. The problem was he got off air, walked around, and still thought he was Cliff Huxtable. Mm-hmm. And then he started to lecture the African-American community and tell me because I wear a hoodie and I got a hat on and my pants are sagging that I'm worthless. Mm-hmm. And that made me not want to stick up for him when I saw him in a dire situation, even though he was an African-American hero for me growing up.
True that.
And so he got high and mighty and really thought that he was Cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to rethink who our leaders are in our community and what they say, how much weight it should really have in the black community. Now, does that mean that Rudy and Malcolm Jamal Warner and Felicia Rashad and everyone else we loved on the show should no longer receive residual checks because of the mistake that the main character made? And with universities who gave back their degrees, his honorary doctorates, should they also give him back the money that he invested?
Oh, see, no, that's going too far, I think.
You don't think so? But they did take his degrees away. He had a lot of honorary degrees and doctorates from these universities. Not actual degrees, but, you know, honorary degrees. Mm. But these are also universities that he donated millions to.
Yeah, get my money back then. Y'all could take y'all degree back. Well, if they took the degree back, then they should give him his money back. But that's not going
to
happen.
So I guess what I'm trying to get at with this conversation, so how do you find the balancing act? Because you do want people in power, in positions of power. You do want men specifically in Hollywood, especially being a woman in Hollywood. You know, what are your thoughts on figuring out how to get men in Hollywood to behave appropriately in the workplace?
Lord Jesus.
But at the same time, making sure that people aren't falsely accused or that we are hypocritical in the way we hold certain people accountable. And Charlie Sheen is still Charlie Sheen, and he's
still out.
Well, he's kind of canceled though. Is 2 and a Half Men still out there?
Yes, I just watched it.
Yeah, so I mean, so how do we?
Right now, that's so funny.
It's on air right now. In the studio. We're looking at it at this moment.
So I was saying, we cancel certain people a certain kind of way, and we cancel certain other people, and by just like taking away their livelihood, like completely. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still making money.
And while Charlie Sheen is still making money,
a lot of money.
So what have you experienced in Hollywood? Because, I mean, I see the look in your face every time I bring it up. You're like, oh, my goodness.
I just know that, like somebody said, I got to scroll. It said we all just need to
start over.
Sit down and start over. People have done a lot of stuff, and it's just, I could not even see it. It's so much. And it's just, comedians, man.
How do you navigate show business as a woman, though? How can you tell the difference between when someone wants to give you an opportunity, genuinely network with you and help you out, versus someone who's using it as an opportunity?
They usually get right to it. Really? I've never really worked with anybody who didn't let me know that they were interested or that they wanted to be something a little more. And usually people who want to just work with you, they just do that. And they work with you, they're going about their business.
Right.
But as in between all that, people shooting their shot, people doing this. So you kind of know who is trying to get something out of it, extra.
That's just normal for being a woman altogether.
Yeah,
right?
And I think that's just normal. Yeah, that's just normal. And the people, I guess they've been really good, like the guys who was just going to wait it out and be like, well, I ain't gonna holler at her. I'm just going to work with her, and then I'll see where that goes, and then maybe try something. But for the most part, they in the dough with it.
But the hard part about show business, though, is then, how do you turn down this person who...
Oh, I'm amazing. So I've never had to, like, do stuff for... I've really been able to work off my talent. And I didn't have to do anything extra. I'm not hurting to be on nobody's show. I've been blessed enough to not have to do or even deal with. Because if somebody coming at me the wrong way, I don't have to be bothered with, you know, them for whatever opportunity they might be able to give me. I got so many other opportunities. It's like, I don't have to take this, you know? I don't have to take this from you. I mean, you know, if you want that, then I can.
Then you don't have to rely on that. And you've already built some strong relationships in the industry.
So, yeah, I've been really blessed, though. So I'm grateful because it's a lot of females who aren't and they need those opportunities, and then when they present it with them, they will, you know, deal with stuff they don't want to deal with just so they can be on a show or just so they can go on tour.
What do you think would need to happen for more women to be in positions of power, though? I mean, you have the Issa Rae's, the Ava DuVernay's, you have some people who are in position of power, but by and large, even as you talked about the list of people who have given you opportunities, from Russell Simmons to Kevin Hart to, mm-hmm. you know, you name it. I mean, these are all men who happen to be the gatekeepers. You know, what would it take for that to switch a little bit so that the power structure isn't mm-hmm. so lopsided?
We just got to keep working, ladies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good time to be a lady right now. I mean, it's a lot of black girl magic going on. It's a lot of ladies doing what they got to do. And that's just it. You just have to keep working for what you're trying to get to. And it's happening. So I don't really see, it getting no worse. I just see it getting better.
Only getting better.
Yeah, so.
I got a topic that the ladies are like, man, especially Jess Niche. We're going to go to break in just a minute. But I want to know, and especially you can empathize with this, brother Apollo, because we are two artsy hustlers trying to make it happen. Yeah. There's this meme that's been going around, and it inspired an article about what it would take for a man to be financially stable. And if he's broke, whatever you call broke, does that mean that a woman still has to date them? This article in Ebony says, "Dear broke man, don't punish a woman for not wanting to date you."
Hello.
And I really wanted to get on this topic with yes. Niche. We got to go to break, and then we got to go to news. But we're going to jump on that in a minute. It's WGN Nightside.
Yes.
What y'all want to do on the B-Ballers? That's DJ Cashera. Thank you so much for producing the show. Andrea Dallas, thank you for doing news. You can stick around for this conversation if you so choose. Niche is my guest co-host in studio. This is WGN Nightside. I'm Doma T. Pongo here with you until 1 a.m. And also in studio is Apollo Mighty, vocalist. You can catch his music.
Extraordinaire.
really, really cool artist and really cool brother. He was just supposed to be here for a segment, but I've enjoyed you so much. We're just hanging out. So I appreciate you for being here, man.
Man, thank you for having me, bro. I was like, if you get on my Instagram right now, my story is just like me in the elevator. Just like, and now I'm up here and I'm settling in now. I'm good.
That's what's up. He done got all his cuss words out. He's
yes.
good now.
Right. He's good. He's free
and clear
now.
Those probably was like nerves cuss words.
Yes, it was.
Yes.
Somebody said having a girlfriend or boyfriend is low-key like having a bill. Not necessarily bad way.
Okay, well, let's let them know what we're talking about right now. So we're talking about this meme that has been floating around, I've been paying attention to, and a woman posted this on Instagram, I think it was, or Twitter, Facebook, whatever, posted to social media and said, this guy makes $1,400 a month. If you're making $1,400 a month, you don't need to be with me. Someone commented and said, that's the reason you're pregnant and alone in all of your pictures.
Yeah.
Ouch.
That was a big ouch because she was pregnant by herself.
That was a huge ouch. But $14, $1,400 a month, that's like, you know, that's rent and a few groceries and a bill or two.
Yeah.
You're right. Like,
yeah,
I mean,
but couldn't that be like $1,400 going towards you and your kid, though? I mean, are they talking about this dude? Was this the baby's dad that she was talking about?
Well, she just posted it out there. I don't know who she was talking about. And you know how memes go viral. We don't know the origin of it. But what it did do was it started sparking this conversation about how much money someone should have before they start dating. Because you had men saying, listen, as a man, I'm trying to get myself together. I'm working hard. You know, as a woman, you should help to see my vision out and ride with me. You know, that whole ride or die thing. And then you got Apollo shaking his head. I'm trying to play devil's advocate. I'm trying to put it out there. And there are articles. There's an article in Ebony. It was actually published a while back, but because of this story, it's recirculating. Mm-hmm. And it says, dear broke men, women do not have to date you.
Dear broke men, women do not have to date you.
You are not obligated to date you. But I cut you off a moment ago. What are you going to say, Apollo, about this whole narrative that men have out there, that if a woman sticks through him through his rough time, she is a ride or die?
You know, I mean, I think that's like a really nice romantic story, like, or whatever, like the artistic, you meet your soulmate, y'all do the whole rags to riches thing. But the bottom line is, I don't even want nobody to come into my situation to see me not really grinding and getting it for myself. Like, if you're doing it needing a cheerleader, and you can't be your own cheerleader sometimes, the fact of the matter is, somebody's not going to always be there to push you and be mm-hmm. believing you anyway. Like, you should be at a point in yourself, believing in yourself, when somebody even comes along. And as far as like being like romantically, I don't see how I can be trying to give myself to anybody if my stuff isn't together.
Mm-hmm.
If my dreams and my bills and my business plan isn't down on something and my goals ain't up on a wall and I'm not doing it every single day, who am I trying to date anyway?
Right.
I mean, who am I to even be trying to tell you something about me on a date?
I'm going to play devil's advocate. I don't know if you guys, have you guys seen that movie with Barack, about Barack and Michelle Obama in their first
date? Southside Love. Yeah. I think I saw some of it, yeah.
Yeah, but in the film, and if you look at old pictures of Barack and Michelle, he had a hoopty, his car like didn't even have a bottom to it when they were driving. Mm-hmm. Like he was really struggling, but he was also, he had been president of the Harvard Law Review.
Mm-hmm.
He had just left from the East Coast and come to Chicago and started doing some community organizing. In the movie, on the date, she walks around with him, goes to the South Side to get some ice cream, and she mm-hmm. watches him organize in the community. But it was humble beginnings.
Mm-hmm.
And so as a woman, how do you tell the difference between a man on his way up who has humble beginnings and someone who is just a deadbeat?
Because at some point, them humble beginnings are going to flourish into something that's going to be productive, and it's a time stamp on some of this stuff.
It's time stamp.
You're just not going to be out here for years, 9 years, and you still where you at when I met you. You know, you should be advancing and progressing. And even if it's, like I say, your dream, I know people chasing their dreams, I get it. Like, I know that money not gonna be there, but you gotta figure it out.
You started to say something a moment ago, though.
Which one? About the broke?
Yeah, about being broke.
I got mixed feelings because I'm not, I've never really been like, looking for, well, now I want somebody with money, but that's just now. Like, but
why now?
I don't know, because I'm so used to taking care of everything by myself. So it'd just be nice to just have somebody like, I got it. You know, we good. You good. I got it. But yes, I've never been like a money motivated. Like, I have to date somebody with all this money, but I need you to be able to take care of yourself. That's at the bare minimum. You got to be able to take care of you. I would like for you to have your own stuff, your own crib, your own car, you know, stuff like that. And then we could work on.
Yeah, you sound like the columnist, though. She said this, how she opens the piece. She says this, she isn't necessarily a gold digger. Perhaps she's tired of possibly having to carry the financial load again.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You ever meet someone, man or woman, romantic or platonic, real effect, that makes you feel bad for having standards? I'm talking about those folks who take humility to a whole nother level, a level that no one should ever reach. And it goes on to say that there are men online who are like, man, women today, they only want you when you're already at the end of your rope. Even in my situation, right?
And then how old are you, too? Don't be 45.
That's true. It depends on what stage you are in life.
Come on now.
It does depend on what stage you're on.
It's a little easier to do when you're younger, you're in your 20s, everybody kind of just trying to get where they're going. But I can't be running into no 45, 50-year-old and he still ain't got his stuff together.
Have you been in that situation? Have you been in a relationship where you wish your guy, he had everything else going on, but he was financially unstable and you didn't know what was going on? Hypothetically, do you have a friend who's been in that situation?
Yeah, I have had a friend in that situation, and she's actually still in it. So, but yeah, I don't. It's rough. It's rough. It's a really, because sometimes you do care for people and they're not where you want them to be, but you're willing to stick it in there and let them get where they're going. But like I say, it gets old. Oh, man.
I want to hear from you guys. 312-981-7200. Texting. Because Nisha's being real tongue-in-cheek right now. She's not letting us know her business. Apollo, you ever been in a situation where either you with that guy or you wished you had more from your lady?
You're an artist. So
or cash from your partner.
More, yeah. I can.
I hate to admit it, too. When I was living in Chattanooga, I dated this girl who was a nurse. Now I'll say this, though. It was never like this thing like, oh, yeah, let me try to come up off of you or something like that. We had like a genuine connection. It was like we were cool for a second. We started dating. Boom, boom, boom. I was working at a restaurant. Like, I was working at Buffalo Wild Wings, not as a server, a host, right?
Mm-hmm.
Making like $11 an hour, if that. And she was like a nurse. Like, you know, she had things.
Yeah.
So we went to trips and we did things like that. You know, she
believed.
Who paid for
it?
She did.
She paid for it.
I took my whole paycheck, you know what I'm saying? I would go and do something like, you know, you got paid twice a month. One was for the rent. One was for, you know, I'm going out.
Yeah.
So, but like, and I made sure, even then though, I took, when we went out, she paid one time, I would pay one time, and we were dating. And it wasn't because like, oh, we're doing this, like, we should be going, like, equal, like, or nothing like that. It was just like, you know, I don't got it right now, but as soon as I do have it, I'm paying for you. I think it's just, I mean, if you're going to do something like that, embark on that, yes, have a time stamp in mind of how long you're going to put up with that, mm-hmm. and then make sure that something is being reciprocated. Right. Or are you spending that extra time? You giving me, like, plans and, like, you know, we got something. But just having somebody out here like, yep, I ain't got it this time, mm-hmm. but I'm hungry.
Right.
Okay.
Right. Ramen. Be supportive Ramen. Or useful in another way.
Exactly. Yeah, there you go. That makes sense.
But not, well, okay, right.
No, I was in a situation too. I was in a situation where I was dating someone and she was a little bit older than me. And this, she was a little bit older, a few years older than me. You know, I was in my mid-20s and she was in her early 30s. Okay. And so I think that played a part. And we would go out. We went on a date, took her to a real nice restaurant. And the guy brings a bottle of wine. I'm like, you want some wine? He's like, yeah, you know, a bottle is. He's like, yeah, the bottle is $300.
Oh my!
And I was like, yeah, we'll take the glass, you know. And then we took some glasses. Glass was maybe $20 or something like that. But later on, she was like, you know, Domitia, I just want to check on you, make sure everything is okay, because I noticed he brought the bottle, and I don't know if you can afford the bill because you didn't pay for the bottle. I was like, if I had it, $300 is an expensive for a bottle of wine I haven't heard of before, right. You know, like, right. I don't even know if I like this, you know. And but she was like, well, I'm used to this. I'm also used to men buying my groceries. I'm like, you come over and you don't buy any groceries, you don't come. I was like, oh,
I'm glad she put that out there, though.
She put it out there. And I you know, I was complaining. I sounded like these bitter guys. I called my sister, you know, my big sisters. I'm a counselor's man. I called my sister. I'm like, Athenia, this woman is telling me, I mean, can you believe she said this? I mean, she don't see what I'm doing. I'm the news director at this radio station. I've got this business I've just started. I just left my corporate job and I'm getting into this new industry and I'm really on the come up. Mm-hmm. And mind you, in my eyes, I wasn't even struggling. I just wasn't frivolously spending money.
Right.
Yeah.
Right, right.
But she said that woman ain't obligated to want to date somebody on the come up.
Yeah, that's true.
She is a woman who wants a finished product, and you should thank her for telling her.
And I'm glad that she's
telling you that you're not the man for her.
Won't even let you know, and then you wondering why, you know, she's falling, not interested, or she's feeling a certain type of way.
It changed my whole perspective.
Now it changed mine too, because I want groceries now.
Yeah.
That moved from here on out. You ain't buy my groceries.
She said, "Come through and buy my groceries. Fill my fridge before you come through."
Joel James, this is my comedian friend. He said, "If you are a man worried about who should pay, you need to make more money. That should be your goal. You should never even think about who should pay. Boss up."
Yeah, that's real. That's real. I like that too. And it depends on where you are.
And because
are.
Women will treat too. That's the thing. We will treat. And with no problem. It's just knowing that you will do it and are able to and can't. Right. And then it's reciprocated. Like, I'm very nice.
Yeah. You know, it's I thought about this when I was
Tiala just texted. Somebody texted.
Oh, yeah. You guys can call in. 312-981-7200. I actually replied on the text line with the wrong number. I gave them the newsroom number. But you can call in at 312-981-7200. Teresa, call in. She says she wants to call in and talk about this. I'm scared about Teresa. I don't know what Teresa sounds like.
I got something to say.
She said, I got something to say.
Too long to text.
Yeah, right. I'm like, just call in. You call in, Teresa. Let it out. Let us know what it is you need to say. But no, I mean, it brought me to the position. And we talked about this. I interviewed Niche a while back.
It was fun.
It was on my podcast, and you talked about how in dating you had to date someone in the industry, someone mm-hmm. who understood the lifestyle. And now the woman I'm with now understands the lifestyle and is in the industry.
Oh, good.
And we balance each other out. She understands the scheduling, like where I'm at 1 a.m. in the morning right now, and she understands those types of things. How has where you are, especially having a child, especially being a comedian, having an unconventional job. I'm getting in your business right now. She is right now. Look, you have an unconventional
you
job.
I'm real nosy.
I'm trying to get at Tanisha. I'm trying to see what's going on with her.
There's a lot going on over here. But dating wise, like I say, it's difficult. It's too much.
It's too personal. Okay. I'm getting too personal.
No, you're really not. It's just that it's a lot. But no, I'm trying, but it ain't really working because I'm on the road a lot. And then people get on my nerve. My patience is thin. So if it's like I get the wrong vibe, I don't have time. I just don't have time for people to get on my nerves.
When's your birthday, if you don't mind me asking?
July 1st.
Okay.
Was that a cancer?
Yes. So y'all had a little more patience a while ago when I wasn't that busy. And it's like, okay, well, that was like a strike one, but we'll look past it. Red flag, look, I ain't looking past no red flags. If you get on my nerve once, that's it.
I know we talk about gender roles a lot, and we're talking about heterosexual relationships, but people with partners, and the thing is, it can go either way. And we don't talk enough about what is it like if you're the man and you have it all,
mm-hmm.
and maybe you're turned off by a woman
who ain't got nothing
and who's not ambition, who's not doing her thing.
Say it two times. Yeah. You say it two times.
You know, I've had to, and you know, one of the things I've done in relationships, like just by virtue of the business, I can put people in, I have opportunities I can place people with. And if you're dating someone and they don't follow up on an opportunity that you put, that is a turnoff. And I don't think we talk enough about guys who have it and want their women to have it too.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Or whoever that person is in a relationship. Cash, you said preach. Why did that hit your spirit, Sister
y'all
Cash?
Got the right.
Because, like, well, first of all, as an openly lesbian woman, I know, actually, that I am typically the one that comes into the relationship having more than the other person. You know, I mean, recently I'm meeting new women that are matching me, which is a beautiful thing. But in past relationships, that was a huge turnoff. Like, if I'm coming in and I'm self-motivated and I'm telling you, like, hey, let me plug you to so-and-so and so-and-so, and they're just not following up, it's annoying. Like, what are you doing? Why are you not trying to elevate with me? I want us to elevate together as a unit. Like, be Beyonce and Jay-Z. You cute. But girl, you ain't there, like, mentally you're not there with everything else. Like, this ain't gonna work. And it's very frustrating, it's flustering, and it's a huge turnoff because you have to look at it like, my mom always tells me hindsight is 20/20. Mm-hmm. So in the long run, if I can see right now that you're not doing what you should be doing to even elevate, to catch up to where I'm at, or begin to, like, incline on your own, you're not going to be able to work with me, period. Because I'm constantly trying to grow. You cool being stagnant. And it's already date number two. You got to go. I can't do it.
Right, right.
There's a text I think who would agree with you. 815 says, sorry, I have a problem with the whole guys buy my groceries thing. she have ones that pay her rent too. And the idea of it, same thing you said, Cash, when you look at someone without ambition or someone who's expecting those things, she's the evolution I had was the fact that she had the right to demand what she wanted to demand, no matter how unreasonable I thought it was. It's a turnoff for me to think that you need a caretaker. It sounds like you want a father or a mother.
Is that what
a parent.
Sound like?
Sounds like you want a parent.
Groceries.
Buying groceries.
Okay. I mean,
it sounds like you want a parent.
Can you buy them on your own? Do you need someone to buy? Like, are the reason you checking me by not coming over here with groceries?
Like, do you need it or you just want that?
Because if that's the case,
it's starting to sound like
she expected, though. And her man, she expects that he buys groceries.
Right.
But they don't live together. That's not her husband. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that's a whole nother level.
I left out a key part of this. We've been dating for about.
Somebody said sponsor.
She wanted a sponsor. I left out a big part of this. We've been dating for 3 months.
Oh.
That was a little early to expect that. I wasn't even
groceries only 3 months.
I wasn't sure if I wasn't even sure if I liked you that much.
I thought she told you about away versus a year in. Like, when you ain't never buy me no groceries and I can't do this. You done fell in love, bought her a ring, and you ain't never bought her a steak, so she done.
Right. I don't know, though, but you said, because you said that y'all been, that she's older than you, right? That she was older than you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know. I feel like maybe that age bracket difference, maybe she was used to dating older men that did that for her and she became spoiled in that.
Yeah.
So then dating someone younger, it was kind of like, ooh, wait a minute, you know, my older men were kind of like sugar daddies. You ain't matching up what you're doing.
But yeah, when does groceries become a standard for a great relationship? I mean, my mom taught me to do a lot of stuff in, like, being a part of a relationship. and mom's never was like, hey, yo, make sure you hit that Kroger on your way over and grab a couple
don't
cantaloupes.
Don't ever go home without stopping at Aldi.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm going to start demanding that in my contracts from now on. Okay, I know that
my
much.
Contracts.
contracts.
Oh, to be with me, you need to sign a contract. I need to know I can trust you. I don't trust nobody these days. I need you to sign a contract, put this in writing, sign this, that you ain't gonna do X, Y, and Z. You understand what we doing here. Sign it, leave me alone. That's it.
I'm out here trying. That's a great whatever. I'm out here trying to see like who's like taking care of themselves mentally and spiritually and physically, mm-hmm. like on their own. I mean, like money is great, and like I make my own money, so like that's really like not even a thing for me. If we go somewhere, I'm gonna pay for you. If I notice that you ain't never paying for yourself, I'm not going away with you. But right beyond that, if you ain't been taking care of yourself, if I can talk to you, and I know that some stuff is not there.
You caught it finally.
The first one. The
good
very
job.
First
good
one.
Job.
I mean, but listen, this just thank God for what we got. I mean, where we at?
I love it, though. That's the perfect way to put it. Work on yourself.
Please.
Be the best version of yourself. And when you bring the best version of yourself to a relationship, you get the best version of the people that you're looking to be in that relationship with. WGN Nightside is 1252. Stop meeting dudes at the liquor store. Meet him at Kroger's.
At Kroger's.
Oh, yeah.
Yo. We about to get to the one right.
Oh, this is a perfect song for this. That is DJ Cash Era, who is producing the show tonight. I'm Doma T. Pongo. It's WGN Nightside. We got Niche in studio, comedian. Remind them who you are, what you do, and where they can find you if they enjoy how you've your work. Yeah?
I am Just Niche on Instagram, Twitter, and
hilarious
Facebook.
On Instagram, by the way.
J-U-S-T-N-E-S-H. One E, J-U-S-T-N-E-S-H, and that is on everything. It'll come up.
And every Monday night, you got a set that you
every
host.
Every Monday night, yes. You can find me at Francis in Chicago on 75th Street on the South Side at Francis. So y'all can come there for a good laugh. Showtime is at 9-something. So
I love that.
Yeah, you know, because I hate when people are like, what's on your set? 9-something. whenever I walk in the door. But it's dope. Like I said, we got the game is on, and we do a little comedy. So come out to Francis on Mondays.
The game is on, comedy. You never know who will walk in there. I was there. I saw Dion Cole one night, random. I think it might have been my birthday a few years
ago.
Yeah,
everybody falls. You know, Dion Cole falls through a lot. Him and Marlon Mitchell are really good friends. So Marlon Mitchell owns the bar. He's a really good comic in Chicago. He one of Dion Cole's good friends. So Dion Cole, you don't know who's gonna pop up in there. And then a lot of out of town comics always fall through. So it's just a good place to come for Monday.
And Francis makes amazing drinks.
Yes.
Oh my. Yeah. I remember one night, I don't know what we did to make this brother happy, but he just passed out free drinks to everybody in the bar. Shout out to you, my man. They make I like Coke and Hennessy. They make Hennessy with a splash of Coke. I say, you know, everything is with a splash. No chaser.
Oh, yeah.
Get an Uber or a Lyft if you go to Francis.
Yeah, nice DUIs come from Monday night at Francis. Knock on wood.
So make sure you get an Uber or a Lyft when you go to Francis. But support Just Niche. Apollo, what you got coming up? And how can people support you?
So I just released my new song, Solid Gold, last week. It's doing really good. Right now I'm just going to be doing a bunch of house shows and like open mics around the city just to kind of do some grassroots promotion and stuff like that. I'm shooting a new music video this weekend, and I'll just be just trying my best to get my music into the ears of everybody who wants to hear it right now.
Me?
Just pushing. Yep. Pushing. Thank you so much.
It's amazing, man. Apollo Mighty, and you can find him on social media at Apollo_Mighty.
Apollo_Mighty.
Yeah, yep. Everything spelled normally. And you guys keep up with me at domat.net. This Thursday, this is real exciting. I'm getting an award by Aerial Investments and WVON. They partner and they give an award of 40 under 40 change makers. And they honor some really phenomenal people. Past honorees have been Hebrew Brantley, who is an amazing artist who made pieces for Jay-Z and Nicki Minaj and all these people, and business movers and shakers, usually people of color, really making things happen in the African-American community. So I'm super humbled by that. That's happening Thursday.
Congratulations.
Right, thank congratulations. You. Congratulations. You working. Yeah, you working, you. Working.
Yeah, that's at the Waldorf Astoria. If you want to come support me, come out. You can follow me and see all the information on my social media at D-O-M-E-T-I.